It's time now for the Virginian Pilots Sports Roundtable on the John Castleberry Show. Here on the new 102.1 FM and 1490 AM, The Game.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two underway. Skies appear to be clearing a little bit, but there is a severe thunderstorm warning in the area for several cities, so hang tight. Good day to keep us tuned in. Time for the Virginian Pilot Sports Roundtable discussion as Bob Molinaro and Ed Miller join us. Guys, welcome as always.
Thank you, John. Well, nice to be here.
We had a caller last night. I'll start with this and then we can get it out of the way. A caller asked us to ask you all about the obviously tragic situation involving the football player from Norcom High School, Finney. Ben Finney's younger brother, the Old Dominion basketball standout. I don't know what else there is to say about it other than the fact that it's obviously very tragic, but I don't know that it's reached epidemic proportions, but it certainly is heading that direction with the athletes we've seen involved in shootings in the last year here.
Yeah, it's surprising to me, and I know there were some fears last week at the Maury game. It was postponed in the wake of this stuff, and yeah, like you said, John, I don't know what to say except certainly my condolences go out to the Finney family.
490-2750, the phone numbers, if anybody wants to call and ask a question, comment, or whatnot. Every week, your boss calls or emails and asks, you know, who would be good to have on this week, that kind of thing. And, you know, certainly the Redskins have been a hot topic. You guys can both comment on that. But before we get into the Redskins, Ed, I want to ask you specifically about Virginia football. Wow. They get throttled by Duke down at Duke 31-3. I think they actually had a 3-0 lead in the game, I think, didn't they? They gave up 31 straight at Duke, and I thought that Duke would beat them, but I didn't know they'd beat them like that.
I don't think anybody saw that coming. I mean, that was, to me, the single most shocking result I'd seen. Just, you know, the way it completely unraveled there in the second half. But that's what happens when you have a team that basically has no offense. If you look at the statistical categories, they rank near the bottom of the country in virtually everything. Scoring offense, total yards, and, you know, defensively they're just a hair better. And, you know, I don't see how, you know, if that's rock bottom, I mean, if you're a Virginia fan, you've got to hope that's rock bottom. You got Maryland coming in this week. Maryland is a team that has sort of been a bit schizophrenic.
But better lately.
Yeah, better lately. They put together three good quarters against Cal and then held on to win that one. They didn't show up in the first half against Clemson, and then they roared back. I was actually up in Maryland yesterday. I'm doing a story and then for tomorrow's paper. And, you know, you talk to Coach Friesian, and he's doesn't try to hide that he's frustrated. So Maryland's a team that sort of played to its level of competition. So they're maybe, you know, I don't know, they're justifiably a little concerned coming into Virginia. And if Virginia's ever going to make a stand, I guess this better be the week or, you know, cancel the season in Charlottesville.
It's hard to make a stand when you say they have no offense. They have no defense either. If you look how many points they've given up in the three 1A games they've played this year, 130 or 40.
Well, yeah, they're 1-3, their win was against Richmond, a 1AA school. And I almost throw the Southern Cal game out because we knew that was going to be the way it was. But the other two, you can't give up 31 points to Duke and lose the way you lose.
Yeah, UConn had showed no signs of being an offensive powerhouse. They were sort of a team that, you know, won ugly, controlled the ball, ran the ball. They moved up and down the field, did absolutely anything they wanted. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, against Duke, you know, four interceptions from Mark Farrakhan. I mean, that's going to obviously played a huge role. But Clint Sintem had a great first half. He went out in the second with some cramps, and, you know, he was a one-man pass rush. Without him, the defensive line has just not been, you know, they really missed Chris Long. They missed Jeffrey Fitzgerald, who should have been there. They missed Jameel Sewell, who should have been there. They missed Chris Cook, who should have been there. They missed Peter Lalich, who should have been there.
But this is a very common theme now with this program. I mean, it's, you know, you're going to lose players. And certainly the Lalich thing was not what he had planned. Sewell was, you know, certainly not what he had planned, but that wasn't exactly a brick in the face. I mean, that was coming with Sewell. But every year we seem to be in this situation. And last year they go from an embarrassing loss at Wyoming and they turn it around. He's the ACC Coach of the Year, he being Al Groh. But my God, here we are again, and they could be 1-11.
Well, they will not be favored in any game from here on out. So they could be 1-11.
Well, if
I mean, if they're not, if they're 3-8-9, is that any better?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's still a disaster. So they've lost. It's more than what we're seeing on the field. They've the structure of the program, the foundation is cracking. There's stuff going on behind the scenes. You know, it's one thing to say Virginia is a difficult school, and it is. It should be. If they want to stand by their, you know, their philosophy of academics at Virginia, it should be more difficult than some other universities. At the same time, there's been years and years of under Grow and before that George Welsh, where players didn't flunk off the team. So somebody's not paying attention to
George Welsh didn't seem to have these problems.